Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I guess it's never too late to think about what it is you want to be, or where it is you want to go, or what you want to accomplish, and how are you going to get there, you know, and how are you going to do it, maybe is another word you got to think about. I often think small business owners are always thinking about these questions. They're in the back of their mind, or maybe they're right out in the forefront because they got some decisions to make. But I'm not always too sure if it's easy to answer those questions. There's often a lot of noise in our life, both on a personal level and on a business level. I mean, there's always stuff going on, don't you think so? Some days I wonder if we can ever get anything done. Have you ever met a person with whom you admire because they seem to like they're everywhere and they're getting everything done? That there seems to be something about them. They execute on a level that you sit and wonder, you know, how do they do that? You know, what is it? I wish I could do that. I've seen lots of people like this, and I suspect you have too. I suspect sometimes there is the ability, or they might have the ability to focus on what's truly important to them in business and start to make that happen. And whether it's a yearly goal or a specific target market or maybe a service in the market's missing in some way, they prosper in ways that maybe you would like to prosper yourself. And, you know, so those are all things that you got to look at, right? What are they doing differently that you could be doing? Well, I'm not too sure if I totally have the answers, but I do think it has something to do with the course of action and their ability to execute. And executing on some kind of business strategy or on their goals on a regular basis to create their own success. But I also think that that's not always easy to do. One of the keys is to maybe focus on what is important and to get rid of all the unnecessary items and things around you. And this requires you to take some time to plan and to create actions to get you to where you want to go. And maybe, just maybe, this is something we can do in business, in our careers and our life. So you can sort of guess what we're going to talk about today. Something around action planning with my guest, Carissa, who's CEO of Silver Lining Limited out of New York. Now, her company partners with small business owners to create greater success. And I'm sure Carissa will tell you a little bit more about that. Now, I met Carissa some years ago in Montreal. I was sitting in on a presentation at a conference, and I was impressed with her presentation, the company, and her overall business attitude. So I really like Carissa's story. So Carissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be with you and everyone in Winnipeg.
Everyone in Winnipeg and Manitoba and Canada, eh? You even got me to use the word A in the background there.
Right.
So, Carissa, you know, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your story.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I live in New York, but I am proudly Canadian. I'm originally from Edmonton, Alberta, so I'm a prairie girl. And I grew up in Edmonton, and a couple of the parts of my story that are probably interesting is that I was actually homeschooled from grade 1 to grade 10, and I was homeschooled because I really struggled with learning how to read, some basic kind of academic elements, and also because I had a lot of anxiety. And so that part of my story I don't talk about as much, but that really kind of formed a foundation for my belief that anything is possible, because I essentially went from this, you know, Edmonton, Prairie, Alberta girl with, you know, some learning struggles and anxiety issues to, you know, an entrepreneur woman living in New York City, traveling the world, doing what I do now. And so my own personal journey from, you know, the girl that I was to the woman that I am makes me believe that anything is possible and makes me want people to, you know, like you were talking about, Richard, live the life they want, execute on the goals they have, you know, take action to create the life they really want. So that's the base. Some of the just logistics of life are that I went to university at the University of Alberta. I did a psychology degree there. I'm a proud alumni of that school. And then right out of university, I moved to Toronto. I made the big middle of the country to the east side of the country move. And I worked in advertising for a year in Toronto before I left that to start Silver Lining. So I started the company when I was 22 in 2005. And I really was struck when I moved to Toronto by this dynamic that I saw in the world, where I met so many fascinating people who were so passionate with what they did and who worked so hard and who had made the bold move to start their own business, but who really struggled with profitability, sustainability, you know, these issues where, you know, the business was so important, but always a source of kind of struggle. And those people were living in these really parallel universes to the people that I worked with in the corporate world, who had often given up their passion for security. And I just really had this big moment, and it was influenced by my childhood, certainly, but I just saw this world and I thought, you know, I don't want to be a person that gives up passion or money. I want to both. I want both. I want to make money doing what I love, and I want to help other people do that. And so that was really the beginning of the journey that, you know, I've been on for the last 11 and a half years of building Silver Lining and trying to figure out, you know, how to crack this code of helping small businesses succeed. But that's kind of the short version.
So that's actually a pretty good version of the story. I mean, even out of that, I have like a ton of questions I'd like to ask you, and I have limited time. I'm curious as to, you ended up in Toronto, but like, how did you end up in New York? Because I think one of the things we do in life, with most people I hang out with, we sort of romanticize different places. Like, if you think of places you want to go, the Big Apple, New York, you want to go down to Chicago for the blues, you want to go to L.A. for, I don't know, the Hollywood stuff or whatever. But how did you end up in, like, one of the places in the world that people tend to sort of romanticize about living in?
Yeah, so I so the reason that I chose Toronto, so right out of university, I moved to Toronto. Literally, I wrote my last exam on Friday at 4. I had already bought a condo in Toronto and shipped all my stuff over. I had a going-away party that night, dinner with my family, and I was on a one-way flight to Toronto Saturday morning. So that was my exit from Edmonton. And I chose Toronto as my first move because it was the only city in Canada bigger than Edmonton where I didn't know anyone. And it was really, moving to Toronto was really about proving myself to myself. It was really about saying, you know, I had done well in Edmonton, and I didn't know if that was because I was doing well or if it was because Edmonton was a smaller market or... And I really wanted to know what I was made of. So that's why I chose Toronto. And about 6 years into being in Toronto, it was Silver Lining's five-year anniversary party. And I remember literally looking around that party thinking, look at what, you know, has happened in these last 6 years in Toronto. And look at this amazing network that I have and these amazing people that I know. And, you know, I felt really content. And on the one hand, I was very proud of that. I was really proud of what I had accomplished and that feeling of content. And on the other hand, I was really scared of that. And so literally right around that time, I thought to myself, all right, what's my next move? What's my next move to prove myself to myself? And New York is a city that I'd always dreamed of. I mean, I've always loved New York, and I didn't know anyone in New York at that time. And so in almost exactly a mirror circumstance of how I chose Toronto, I chose New York. I thought, you know what, I got to prove myself to myself. Am I just doing well in Toronto because it's Toronto? Where could I go to push myself to the next level? And
you know
where
what?
Where could I go? I don't know anyone, and that's where I went.
New York was where you went. You know what we'll do? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about Silver Lining and what you do and your adventure in New York. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And boy, what an interesting show we're having. I'm hanging out with Carissa, who's the CEO of Silver Lining. And she was telling us a little bit about her story, her adventure, her journey from Edmonton, Alberta, down to Toronto, down to New York. Carissa, just before the break, we were talking about how you ended up in New York, really in a situation where you decided to challenge yourself. And taking an existing company called Silver Lining Limited, and that's how I know your company. But maybe what we should do is just sort of, you know, ask you the question, like, what does Silver Lining do?
Yeah, I'd love to answer that question. So we just built a program based on behavior change psychology to help small business owners grow their businesses. So at a macro level, what I think we do is I think we're changing the economy one small business at a time.
Okay.
And I have very strong beliefs around, you know, economic development and the global economic reality we're in and the fact that small business is by far the most powerful engine to change the economy. But yet, so many small businesses struggle and fail. And so my attempt to be part of the solution to global economic development has been to create this program that's literally a growth program for small businesses. So we quite literally help small businesses build one-year growth plans, really understand their business model, their financial model, their profitability, what parts of the business make sense to grow, what doesn't, set financial goals to grow not just revenue, but to grow sustainability, to grow profit, to grow, you know, the business owner's capacity.
Yeah, yeah. So you're there. You're really there to help businesses. Well, like you said, grow, right, for economic development. I'm a bit curious. You know, with most small businesses, I've been involved in what I call micro enterprises and mid-level enterprises all my life. And by the way, I also have had that bit of that corporate career that you talked about earlier. And I walked away too, because figuring, you know, there's got to be a better life. And I'm just wondering, with most small business owners, are there like some common challenges that they have?
Yes, definitely. So we actually call that challenge the cash flow capacity catch 22. So what we've learned is that really, regardless of demographics and industry and all the other things that we try to, you know, put into patterns, small businesses face two problems. They never have enough time and they never have enough money. And ironically, they need more time to create more money and they need more money to create more time. And so we call this the cash flow capacity catch 22. And so our belief is that, and our whole program is built on the theory that if we can help small business owners spend their time and their money better, we can have a direct impact on the success of the business.
Okay. Okay. So what are some of the ways in which small business owners maybe use their time better?
Yeah, that's great. So one of the most amazing statistics of our work is that we've worked with over 10,000 small businesses, and 98% of those small businesses have not had growth goals, succinct, clear, actionable growth goals before they start working with us. So the first thing is, you know, businesses need goals. You need to know where you're going. And this is true of any behavior change, right?
Yeah.
Losing weight, getting fit, whatever. You need a goal. And so that's by far the number one. I think the other thing that gets in the way is just feeling like you have to do everything. And being a business owner, to some extent, you do. But we see what I would call a lot of chaos in business owners' life. They're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're on every board, every committee. They're trying to do all this stuff. And when you look at the actual amount of time being spent on their business, on actually trying to build a good business, it ends up oftentimes being not very much. And so there's definitely a time issue where business owners don't stay focused enough and don't do the real work that's required to grow a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, business owners do a lot in the name of networking. But when we really look at the activity that's happening, the majority of it isn't actually building the business. And so I would say that the combination of having really clear goals and then being willing to be focused and disciplined enough to focus activity so that it actually can get you to those goals is simple, but the significant majority of business owners are not living in that reality. That's preventing their success.
Yeah, jokingly, I mean, I once heard you say that that small business owners need a good slap, which made me laugh. I thought that was hilarious. But it turns out that that is actually an acronym you use in terms of your work, isn't it?
Yeah, so our program is called a Silver Lining Action Plan, and it's because we don't believe you need a business plan. We want you to have we want you in action growing your business. So like we just talked about, it's smart action. It's the right action that will get you to a goal, to a result, as opposed to frenetic action, which is, you know, the reality for many business owners.
Yeah, yeah, and sort of that roadmap in terms of their actions overall. I know you started breaking it down for me a little bit, but the Silver Lining Action Plan, so I was reading up on a bit, and it looks like it has five steps. So why don't we just list off those five items, and then we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll start breaking them down a little bit more. So what are the five steps in terms of having an action plan?
Yeah. So the first is to create a SLAP statement, which is just being, it's essentially a vision statement, being very clear about what you do, who you do it for, and the scale you want to do it on. The second step is creating a one-year financial goal, and that's really about understanding your business model, understanding your profit margins, understanding what parts of your business make sense to grow. The third step is defining your ideal client, and that's about being super focused on a certain type of customer as opposed to trying to be something for everyone. The fourth step is building the action plan, and that is about literally creating a 12-month plan broken into quarters and then monthly action items that essentially chart out how you're going to go into the world to find that ideal client, to hit those financial goals, to live out the big SLAP statement. And then the fifth step is the most important. You got to execute it. You actually have to do that plan for the next 12 months.
Yeah, you actually have to go out and get it done, you know. And
that's right.
What do you think, if we just had a moment to talk about execution, what do you think sort of stops people from executing? Do you have...
Yeah, so I think that execution is a habit. I think that, one, you know, going back to what we talked about, overwhelm certainly stops people from execution. I think being lonely or isolated stops people from execution. You know, things go wrong all the time, and if you're not talking about that and processing it and coming up with solutions and normalizing the fact that things go wrong, I think people get really stuck. I think that people are oftentimes embarrassed. I think it's, you know, growing a business is really hard, and most of the time we all feel like we're screwing it up in some
way, shape, or form.
And so people feel embarrassed. That shuts them down. I mean, we could talk about this for a long time.
You know what we'll do, Carissa? We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll start to break down your process, and maybe we'll go a little bit further into some of the challenges that people have, because, you know what, these sound like common challenges. I, too, an entrepreneur, and sometimes I feel really isolated. And I'd like not to, you know, so this is what we'll do. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll take a short break. We'll come back and we'll dive further into the details of having a small business slap. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, to be set for success in your business, career, and life. You know, being successful often means you have a plan. I think that's what we're talking about today, is sort of like, you know, what is it you do in this case in terms of your small business? What is your plan? You know, what are you focused in on, and in what way you're actioning it? So what are those activities that you're engaged in that actually help create your success? I suspect sometimes, though, and we've used a few of these words, that you might feel that you're a little bit stuck, you know, or that you're a little bit isolated. I know from time to time I've felt isolated in some of the small businesses I've owned, and I've had felt like I've had no one to talk to. And I know that other business associates of mine have felt the same way. So what do we do about that? Is there some way that we can work together and maybe unravel our complex issues, make some business decisions, maybe establish a common direction for ourselves? I think these are the things we're trying to figure out today on this show, is what exactly does that look for us? And I'm hanging out today with Carissa, CEO of Silver Lining, out of New York, but hey, Canadian growing, born and bred. And she's actually had some success with small business owners, over 10,000 of them, in terms of actually helping them grow their business. So when we return, we're going to continue to break down the Silver Lining Action Plan with Carissa from New York. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we will be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carissa, CEO of Silver Lining Limited. I just love, Chris, I love the name of your company. Like, when I first thought about it, and I actually started Googling the name of your company, too, and I looked at all the different types of companies that came up with Silver Lining, and I was just like, wow, you know, like, that's actually quite an interesting name. One of the questions I didn't ask you was, how did you come up with the name of your company? Why did you call it Silver Lining?
I like that question. So I named it very early on, before I actually had built our methodology and all the other elements. But what I wanted to represent for business owners is something that was both fundamental and practical, you know, and then also had a bit of a spark and a flair and an edge and excitement. And I remember talking to a friend saying, you know, what can do both of those things? What in the world is both practical but inspiring and interesting and beautiful? And I said, you know, like silver, right? It makes coins and cutlery and practical machinery, but it also is, you know, used for art and jewelry. And then as I said silver, I said, you know, it's and then I said, you know, the old proverb of silver lining, right? Now there's a silver lining. And so it was kind of just this moment where I said the word silver and it all literally came together in some sort of like a moment where I thought, oh, that's us. We're silver lining. We want to show people that it may feel hard, but this is silver lining. And we as a business and a program want to be both very practical and fundamental, but also be fun and interesting and modern. And so that was the inspiration.
That was the inspiration for Silver Lining. That's pretty good. You know, I think every business name should have a story. And that's a great story. Now, we were talking, one of the promises I made to our listeners that we're going to come back and break down your process for you a bit. And I've seen it in action, so I know a little bit about it. I know that one of the first steps you talk about, and you did talk a bit about this in the first segment, was creating an actual SLAP statement. So Silver Lining Action Plan Statement. What does a statement, like an action plan statement, consist of?
So it's three things, and all of the businesses we've ever worked with have followed the exact same formula. So it's about defining what you do, who you do it for, and the scale you do it on. So Silver Linings flat statement, as an example, is Silver Linings sells flats to James on a global scale. And so our what is flats. That's, you know, that's our program. That's what we do, and we deliver flats in many different ways, but that is what we do as a business. James is our ideal client. You know, he's a small business owner who's been in business for two or more years, has, you know, kind of $100,000 or more revenue, wants to grow. We've got a profile of who our ideal client is. And then our scale is global. We're determined, you know, to be serving small business owners around the world. And so the point of this flat statement goes back to something we talked about earlier, which is just about focus. And one of the big plagues facing business owners is that in our fear of not having enough, we try to do everything for everyone. And there's an irony, and we've got lots of data to prove this, that the more what's a business has, or the more who's a business tries to serve in our language, actually the less the chance they'll have of succeeding. And the businesses that are laser-focused and have a really good what and a really good who and a really clear scale actually grow the fastest. And so a flat statement is about making some choices. It's about really choosing, you know, a future of a business. It's about bringing what you care about as a business owner into alignment with what you actually do on a day-to-day basis. And then most importantly, it's about having a really good filter for deciding what to spend your time and money on. So going back to that cash flow capacity catch 22, if the challenge facing small business owners is that we never have enough time and money, which is true, then the most critical choice we can make as business owners is how we spend our time and our money. And so we use the SLAP statement as that filter. So, for example, every time someone wants me to spend any of our time or any of my money, I ask myself, will it help me sell more SLAPs? Can I talk about SLAPs? Will James be there? And is it global in scale? And if the answer is yes, I always say yes. And if the answer is no, I always say no.
Yeah.
And so it helps me and others essentially make good choices about what activities will actually help grow a business and what are actually just distracting us from our growth.
Okay, no, that makes sense. Even while you were talking, I was writing this down, and I was writing it for my own company. And uh-huh. I'm always, you know, you and I do similar things. You do something called a SLAP, I do something called a SPAR, and both are acronyms. But it's sort of the same idea, getting that clarity in terms of who exactly do you serve, right, and where your focus mm-hmm. is. That's
definitely
the, yeah. And for the small business owner, I guess that's really important. I noticed that you focus more on just 1 year goals as opposed to 5 year goals. And is there any particular reason why you pick that? In terms of working with small business owners?
Yeah, very much so. So for two reasons. One is that as technology is advancing and growing, the world is changing more quickly, and so. I think about my own experience, right? If I thought about where I was going to be in 5 years, by about a year or two in, it would be so removed from reality because I think that the business owner's job is to be both very diligent. Like, you know, I've never changed my flat statement in 12 years, but I've been constantly adjusting my business model and how I deliver on my flat statement as the world changes. And so I think as the world is changing, business owners need to be clear that the old school way of 5, 10, 20-year business plans, I think that that's going out the window, to be honest. That being said, we need goals or else we just spin. And so one-year goals feel long enough that we could actually make real change in a year, but also short enough that they're impending. You know, a five-year goal is so far away that I don't think it puts people into action. And as you've clearly figured out, I'm very dedicated to getting people into action. And so a one-year goal is immediate enough that people seem to feel the reality of it and move into action. Mm-hmm. And we actually go a step further. We take that one-year goal and we break it into quarterly goals as well. So at any given time, all of our businesses are working towards quarterly goals. And so there's an urgency that creates that is not, you know, I don't believe in plans being strategic. I believe in plans turning us into action.
Yeah,
and
tactical.
I think five-year plans keep people in strategy thinking mode. And a one-year plan puts people into urgency and action. So that's our reasoning for it.
Yeah, and I think that I would absolutely agree with you because I think one of the challenges is the translation of strategic plans into tactical plans, and that often requires a roadmap. And it sounds to me like you're bringing them down into the roadmap-type structure in terms of your planning.
That's exactly right.
And that's what you're doing.
That's exactly right.
This is Richard Lannan. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk a bit more with Clarissa about some of the areas of ideal clients, action planning and execution, and then we'll get some final thoughts from her. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan, but you knew that already. We've been talking today with Clarissa, CEO of Silver Lining, and we're talking about giving small business owners a slap. I wonder, do you need a slap? We mean, Clarissa, I know we both mean it in a very positive way, because sometimes we got to get ourselves organized as small business owners so we can be more successful. It's been great talking about the slap statement and the idea of one-year goals and breaking them down quarterly so they're bite-sized chunks, the things you can do. What can you tell us a bit more about identifying your ideal client? Because I suspect that a lot of small business owners are sitting there going, well, you know, I want to do business with Henry and Jane and Harry. And I mean, I know I'm picking names, but, you know, how do we define that a little bit more so that we're clearer on who we should be serving?
Yeah. So we think that an ideal client has four things in common. So they pay you willingly for your services.
That's a nice one.
It's amazing how many times that's not happening. So yeah. They pay you. They really value your work, right? They have a need, and your work meets that need, and they appreciate that. They refer other people, right? They talk about you. They tell people about you. They know people like themselves, and they, you know, by nature of being a happy customer, are helping you grow your business. And you actually enjoy working with them, which is such an important piece. You know, I think so many business owners go into business because they want to create freedom and enjoyment and live the life they want. And, you know, years in, they end up being, you know, slaves of their business to a certain degree or victims of their business. And I'm really passionate about reminding business owners, we have the choice to, you know, take on the work we want to do, to choose the type of strategy we want. And so the fourth one is really important to me. You know, we want to make sure business owners are working with people that they actually enjoy, or else what's the point? So,
yeah. Yeah.
So those four attributes make an ideal client. And, you know, it's just, we've seen it over and over again. When you choose to work with clients who don't fit those four attributes, usually the work goes wonky, right? Those are usually the deals or the contracts or the realities where they go over budget, they go over time, they end up in, you know, a fight. And so we just see that when you have a focused and clear ideal client and you do work with people that fall into the, you know, those four criteria, the work is better and the business actually does grow because you've just owned who you want to work with, and you've clarified it to the point where you can go find those people in the world, they can find you, and, you know, better work gets done.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you would say that, because I've often used the analogy with people. Have you ever decided that you wanted to buy yourself a new car? And people look at me like, are you kidding me? But if you think about it, you know, you define what that automobile is going to be, four-door sedan, it's going to be bright red, it's going to be, you know, pick a model or a brand name. And suddenly, the strangest thing starts happening. You start seeing that automobile everywhere. You know, you go to a parking lot into your grocery store and you go, oh, there's one, oh, there's one, oh, there's one. And it's an amazing, you know, how that happens. And it sounds to me like that's what you're sort of suggesting here. If you define the things to think about in terms of your ideal client, you'll start seeing them everywhere. Does that sort of sound right?
That's exactly right. And also, you know, I think what's so interesting, I always say, so if I walk into a room and I say, I'm going to go for coffee with all of these people so that I can see if I can find more business, right? That's 100 coffees. That's 100 hours. That's, you know, $500 in coffee or $1,000 in coffee. Or if I said, I'm going to go into this room and figure out who my ideal client is, and then let's say 20 of the people in the room are my ideal client, I can go for 20 coffees and I can spend $400 on coffee, and I'm going to get the same number of clients in the end.
Yeah.
All the 80 that are not my ideal client, we're not going to do business together. We don't have business to do. So I can be their friend, I can love them, I can converse with them about other things, but you know, if we want to protect our time and our money, we shouldn't go out for coffee and try to do business with everyone, because our close rate just sucks at that point, because you're spending a lot of time and money on people who are not your ideal clients. So it's about the fact that you'll see them, but it's also about the significant amount of time and money that you save in not talking to the wrong people. And you end up with the same, you know, again, whether I went out for coffee with 100 or the 20, I'd get the same number of deals in the end.
Yeah.
But I've saved you know, 80% of my time and money by knowing who my ideal client is and only putting my business development time into those people.
Yeah, and you've improved your bottom line, you know, just by doing that.
Hugely.
The other piece, I think it's the number fourth piece, and I know I'm sort of going through this with you, is the action plan. I know you talked a little bit about that. I noticed that, you know, what is going on out there seems to be a question that you're asking, and I noticed there's some realities in terms of seasons of the world around you and, I guess, in our businesses and our target market's life. Can you sort of speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is so interesting when I talk to business owners about, you know, how they're going to go find their ideal client, right? And we talk a lot about connecting with your ideal client as opposed to selling or marketing to them. You know, people start talking about all the things they want to do. Well, I really want to grow my personal brand. And, well, I really want to, you know, do this. And I really want to ask for referrals. And I really want to do this. But I always have to stop and say, you know, the idea of connecting to your ideal client actually has nothing to do with you, right? I don't care what you want. Who's your ideal client? And where are they? And what's going on in the world around them? And what are their needs? And how do you go find them and connect with them? And so one of the big mental shifts that we want to help people go through is realizing that growing their business isn't actually about them or their business. It's actually about their ideal clients. And so when you think about everything you do from the perspective of how it will impact your ability to connect with your ideal client, it changes everything. So, you know, if your ideal client, let's say, is a senior executive in a corporation versus, say, a mom of young kids, you know, how you would choose to connect with them in the summer months would be very different, right? If your ideal client was Bob, the executive, you might want to buy a golf membership because that's where he is and that's how you're going to go find him. If your ideal client is Susan, you know, a mom with young kids, you might want to sponsor a Little League camps across the city that you want to work in. So it's about, you know, understanding the context of who your ideal client is and essentially what's going on in their life and where they are in the world allows you to get way more creative and actually way more effective at figuring out how to connect with them. And that's how we teach business owners to grow their business, is to understand their ideal client first, their context and the world, you know, around them and how that impacts them, and then to connect with them in that context.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being all about us, right? Well, this is my social media strategy, and this is my referral strategy, and this is my, you know, branding strategy. And it's like, well, I don't really care about any of those things. I want to know how you're going to connect with your ideal client. And in order to do that, you need to know who they are, where they are, and what their needs are.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you would say that, because one of my friends actually says, you know, I think all people are looking for is to have a meaningful conversation. And
totally.
And I think, you know, when you have meaningful conversations with people, it's not about you. It's about them, you know?
Right.
And maybe that's what they're looking to do to connect with. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. Carissa, we got to take a short break, and to our listeners, but we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan, and welcome back to Set for Success. What a show we've been having. I've been hanging out with my new friend, Carissa. She's the CEO of Silver Lining Limited, and we've been talking about giving small business owners a slap. Carissa, if you had one final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
I would say that I believe passionately that being a business owner is a privilege. It's an opportunity and it's a responsibility. And so I would challenge everyone listening to be serious about your growth and to take action and to create what you really want, because I believe it's possible.
Yeah, well, right on. You and I both share that thought. I think you create your own reality. How does somebody get in touch with you? I mean, I know you're out of New York and everything, but if our listeners wanted to connect with you, how would they go about doing that?
So our website is just smallbizsilverlining.com. So small B-I-Z, silverlining.com. And there's a contact form. I actually read every contact that comes in, and we love hearing from Canadians. We've got customers in 9 countries, but Canada is still one of our biggest markets. And so please, if you have questions, if you need help, if you need ideas, whatever you need, let us know, and I will make sure we take care of you.
Oh, great. Thank you very much for joining me. Obviously, thank you to my guests, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And always remember, be your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.